right? Well, it's good to be here, isn't it? It is always so good to be here, to gather together and like I was saying, just sit at his feet and listen and hear what he wants to speak to us today. The message title, I wanted to talk about this because the Lord has been reminding me of this as I've been meeting with people and just there's been all kinds of things going on in people's lives and difficult things. And so the Lord's been reminding me about where the battle truly is, right? Where the battle truly is, because there's a route to it. We could look at the people in front of us, right? But there's a deeper route to what's actually going on, right? And I think we need to talk about that today. It's just something that the Lord has been laying on my heart. And we have to recognize where those scheming things are coming from, right? And be aware of it. So I just want to talk a little bit about it today because it's just been coming up as I've been meeting with people over probably the past like month, I would say, in particular. I have some friends that I've been golfing with for years that I started, and I get these times where I have certain good conversations with them, as I call them, God conversations. And so this week I had a couple, just a really good, I was out I hadn't been out for so long. I was at Blended Restaurant. Actually ran into Gene and the Houstons there. And I was having conversation with these guys, and I don't even enjoy doing this. Hopefully he never hears this. But the NHL draft, but it's something that they like to have me involved in for whatever reason. And they always invite me to come in every year, even though I'm horrible at it every year, and do just so bad at it. but they always want me involved in it, right, Trace? And Trace is like, why do you do it? I said, the only reason is because I think the Lord wants me to keep having these God conversations with them. And every so often, you get a little bit deeper and deeper and deeper. So I was up late with these guys, and even the waitress there joined in. I saw tattooed on her arm was Philippians, and so I pointed that out. I said, that's a great verse, and so it just started this whole conversation, and they were very serious about it. So I had this really, really wonderful conversation, and then again, this guy wanted me to go to an Ironman golf tournament. It's like 27 holes. I was ready for a nap after 18. And I really didn't want to go. I just kind of wanted to be around home and had lots of things going on. But I don't know, for some reason, I just felt like I needed to go. And that day just wasn't about golf. It was about our conversation when I was dropping him off. And I was able to speak Jesus and talk about Jesus with him and him saying that I need it. And he has some things going on in his home right now. Somebody that's living there that I think's into different kind of things, and it's upsetting the peace in the home. That's all I can say, but I'm realizing, man, there's a lot of stuff going on. And in talking to others, I think right now, I think the spiritual temperature is kind of going up right now, and people are wanting to talk about spiritual things more. I don't know, have you guys noticed that? And I've just it's been just more conversation, and these guys keep, now they're asking me what time the church service is at. So I'm always looking to see if they're going to come through the door. Said 10 a.m., guys, 10 a.m. And I think one day soon they will. I think so. I'm going to just believe that. And it's been years of ministering to these guys. And people always ask me, preacher, what are you doing with those guys? It just doesn't make sense. I said, well, I've come to get to know these guys. And I've had some great conversations with these guys, and they're my friends now, right? They're my friends. And so I know all of us have areas, I know, and you have people in your life who don't know the Lord, right? And it's important to have those conversations. But I just wanted to talk a little bit this morning, and I'm gonna open up to Ephesians here. And I wanna, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 10. And I just want us to just listen, and I'll read it. If you have your Bibles, please follow along. But Ephesians 6, and I want to start at verse 10. And we're looking at, where is the battle really? Where the battle really is. in our lives and people's lives. So it says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, right? So there's something going on, right? More than the eye can see, right? We may not necessarily see that in maybe a very clear way in North America, but definitely some countries that I go to, it is so evident. You see demonic things. You have to walk through those things. I've shared a couple of stories with you guys about that. But Paul is encouraging us, take your stand against the devil's schemes. In other words, be aware of them, right? There's more that's going on than our physical eyes just see. There is a spiritual realm. So let me continue. For our struggle is actually not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's a loaded verse, isn't it? There's a lot going on in that one verse. Interesting how Paul uses the word this dark world. Isn't that interesting? You know, he specifically pointed that out. When I was looking at this week, I was thinking about that world. It can seem dark, this world, can it? The things that are going on around us, the things that are happening, and we need to be aware of his schemes, right? We need to be aware. I want to turn bewildered saints into knowledgeable opponents, right? And that we're aware that there's a spiritual realm going on. There's more that's going on than meets the eye. We want to take a stand against his schemes, for our struggle isn't against people. Isn't it too easy to make our struggle with the person who's in front of us, right? Right? Instead of looking deeper and saying, oh man, you know, maybe I need to pray for this person because maybe they're tripped up in the devil's schemes, right? And I don't want to bite on that, right? Remember what it says, what Jesus says in the book of John, right? Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and do good to those who hate you, right? Right? We're to pray for those who are persecuting us. But what I want us to be aware of today, and just want us to see, that we have to look beyond the flesh and blood, right? There's more going on there. There is a spiritual realm. And perhaps maybe we don't talk about it enough. Maybe we have to be aware more than anything, right? And so Paul's talking about putting on this full armor, which we'll get to. So our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is a loaded statement. There's something going on that we can't see with the physical eyes. Therefore, what do? Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And then he goes on to this. After you've done everything, right, to stand. Isn't that interesting, statement? After you've done, what is that everything? What is the everything? After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. So he's talking about putting on this full armor of God, because this day of evil will come, and he wants us to be able to stand our ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And so here's the armor that he talks about, which all of us have, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of this passage of scripture. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Isn't that interesting? That word always is actually the word always. Just to clarify that, right? always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Do we not need to lift one another up in prayer? Right? I covet your prayers for me as pastor of PCC. I hope you're praying for me. Right? I don't know if you've ever felt spiritual oppression. I'm sure some of you have. But you ever have those days where it's just dark and you don't know why? Right? It's just unbelievably dark. And it's hard to get up and even get moving and get going, right? And there's stuff happening in the spiritual realm that's going on. And so we need to lift one another up in prayer, amen? I want us to be a praying church for each other, right? I need your prayers, right? I want to pray for you. And that's why I make a list, these prayer requests that people bring every week. I have a list in my drawer. And I like to take it out and pray for you, especially when you make me aware of a struggle going on in your life or a need that's happening. But I love that Paul says that, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Don't you love that? Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. People today, have you found this? They have no problem giving you their opinion, right? They have no problem sharing their opinion with you, and they're not shy about it. And so we want to fearlessly share our opinion that we have on the Lord, right? Right? We want to do it without fear and without boldness. And last night when I was talking to my friend, and even on Saturday at Blended, I felt this fearlessness that I'm just saying it. Here we go. And we're talking Jesus right there in the restaurant, you know, or at Blended. And then last night with Ricky. And so we just had this wonderful conversation about him, right? And he was receiving it. And so Paul wants us to do this, he says, fearlessly. Given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery? Do you remember where else Paul mentioned that? He says, make known the mystery. It's in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. I'll quickly flip back to it here. Or forward. And it's in 1:26. And here's what Paul talks about in this letter to the church at Colossae. He said, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles this glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So that's the mystery that Paul's talking about that is now made known, right? So I will fearlessly make known this mystery. The mystery is somehow God just doesn't reside in a building anymore. Now he resides in the building of your heart. Your bodies are now the temple for my Holy Spirit to dwell. Amen? Christ in you is the mystery, right? And so Paul's saying, I want to fearlessly make known this mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Right? As I should. We should make Christ, right, at the forefront of our conversations and do it fearlessly as we should. Amen? Right, we should. Now, there's a way we can say it, right, with real hatred. You know, I'm sure the Crusades weren't the best time for Christianity, right? There's a way that we can communicate Christ to people. And sometimes it's like St. Francis said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, right? Sometimes just our actions. Sometimes people don't need words. They've had a lot of words. Sometimes they just need to be shown care and love. Right? Amen? And so here's an interesting thing. I heard this clip from somewheres, and I really like what this guy was saying. And he said, I think the reason we can feel certain temptations for certain things and we can struggle, it's specific to what God is calling us to do. And here's what he said. He said, for example, those who are called to speak or to lead worship, for example, they can have a temptation to smoke and damage their lungs because the enemy wants to silence them because their voice was meant to be heard. and to preach Jesus and to sing Jesus. If you have crippling self-doubt and insecurity, it can be because you are called to lead and to inspire. And so the enemy wants to cripple you in that insecurity. If you struggle with rejection or abandonment, it's because you carry the spirit of belonging and reconciliation, and you are made to gather the outcasts, so the enemy will want to make you feel like one. Interesting, hey? I thought it was really interesting, right? The very thing that God wants you to do and call you to do, the enemy's going to do the opposite and try to tempt you in something to get you to bite on it, right? So that now you're led down a different path. Mark Driscoll said this, and I've been really pondering on it for actually the last month about, and I like what he said. He said, on the other side of your greatest temptation is your greatest opportunity. Usually when you have your greatest temptation and the biggest test, it's Satan trying to destroy and disqualify you when God is getting ready to promote and elevate you. So we have to look beyond the pleasure, look to the Father, choose the pain so you get on to the opportunity that God has for you. Isn't that so true? You know, I thought about that in my own life. I've thought about it in some people that I'm working with and dealing with right now, and that's really true. This one person I'm thinking of, they're getting ready for a great move of the Lord. And they're moving on with their life, and they wanted to make God front and center. And so the temptation that they put in front of them was the perfect thing, because I know this person, they wanted this one thing. And it's like, and the timing of it was impeccable. This person was like moving on and making a move in the Lord. And then the enemy comes along and tempts them with the exact thing that he would know is going to tempt them. And they want to bite, right? They're going to bite on it. And then, of course, now this person's kind of gone a little bit of a different direction, right? And so it's really interesting. Let me read that quote again from Mark Driscoll. On the other side of your greatest temptation is your greatest opportunity. Usually when you have your greatest temptation and the biggest test, it's Satan trying to destroy and disqualify you when God is getting ready to promote and elevate you. So we have to look beyond the pleasure, look to the Father, choose the pain so you get on to the opportunity that God has for you. Amen? God has called each of us, right, to share the gospel, right? Right? Matthew 28, right? Go, therefore, go and make disciples of all people, all nations, right? So we're called to minister. And that is why we have to keep our focus on the Lord, right? We want to keep our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Remember in 1 Peter, we just read this, right, in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion waiting to devour, right? So he's not just sitting around, right? There's something happening in the spiritual realm. And the battle is actually, right, not with flesh and blood, the person beside you, but the powers, the authorities, the rulers in this dark world, right? So we want to stand firm. And how do we do that? Right? How do we do that? I love what it says in James, and let me read for you from James. And I'm going to read from James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen? Resist him. That's why he said, stand firm. Make a stand against the devil's schemes, right? You make that stand, resist him, and it says he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, right? And so he's saying draw near to God. So that recognize of his awareness, right, is what will allow you to recognize the temptations and the enemy wanting to distract you and distort you and biting and latching on to something other than Christ, right? Other than Christ. So how do we put on that full armor, right? Well, you have that full armor. We just need to recognize it, right? We need to recognize that we have that armor on. And so I have to bring this up with temptation because I've dealt with this a lot with people. So we must ask the question, does temptation equal desire? Because I'm tempted, does it mean that's my heart's desire to have that? Right? No. But I think when we're in those situations, I think we begin to feel like that is. Oh my gosh, how can my heart want that? Right? Right? How could it want it? If temptation equals desire, then the one who is tempted in all things, which is who? Yeah, it says it. Jesus, it says he was tempted in all things. And that, yeah, in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says he was tempted in every way. So if temptation equals desire, right, then he who was tempted the most would have the ugliest heart, wouldn't they? Right? And I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't have an ugly heart. Right? He had a very pure, very loving heart. Right? So I just want to clarify that because I've, in counseling with Christians, this has tripped people up a lot. I can't believe it. Right? I can't believe that was in my heart. Well, I said, well, is that a revelation of you or is that a revelation of the enemy? Right? We have to be able to distinguish between those two things. Do you remember I told you that story about that lady? She was a hairdresser. It was when I lived out in BC. And she came and asked for a meeting with me. No? Okay, I'll just briefly share it. So she was in a panic, right? Glenda, I remember. Do you remember Glenda? And she was in this great big panic, right? And she came and she, Pastor, I need to meet with you. I'm on my way. I said, okay, right? And she came and she sat me off. She goes, Pastor, and she looked horrified. Like she was like white as a ghost. I'm absolutely horrified. I said, Sister, what's going on? She said, well, I was cutting somebody's hair this morning. And then I picture me taking the scissors and jabbing him in his neck over and over and over and over again. Right? And she was horrified by this thought, which I quickly replied to her, you don't have that thought when you're cutting my hair, do you? Right? A note to self, right? And so she had this thought, right? And she was horrified. Why? Because she thought that temptation equaled desire, right? That's why. Because she's tempted in it, right? And don't you hate those things, right? Actually, that you hate it, right? Which can only come from being near to God, right? Right? The very fact that, I hate that, right? Can only come from being close to God. Amen? So he says, draw near to God. Recognize he is near. Right? He's right here. Temptation does absolutely not equal desire. Amen? Right? We have to be very, very, very clear on that. Right? Look at even Jesus. He goes to the root. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Who here said that when they were in school? We all did, right? We grew up saying that in school, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into, but deliver us from the evil one. Right? Matthew uses the word the evil one. Right? Deliver us from the evil one. Right? And so there's a root cause there. So my point in wanting to say this today is the battle is never with the person in front. That's not the root of it, right? It's always what's going on in the spiritual realm. The devil schemes, right? He wants to trick you and thwart you, right? And we need to pray for people, right? Right? Always be praying for one another, right? And so let's be a church that prays for one another, that lifts one another up, right? And Jesus, even in this prayer, he even mentions it. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the enemies and his schemes. And you will do that by recognizing the full armor of God that you already have in Christ. Amen? You already have that armor. You have to recognize it, though. Right? If I don't see my glasses, I'll never use my glasses, will I? Right? I don't see them. Right? But because I see them, I use them, and now I can see, right? So we have to recognize that armor of God. And so let me just read that again from Ephesians and recognize the armor that you actually have from the Lord. Here's what it says again in chapter 6. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Why the belt of truth? Right? So that you can recognize the enemy's lies. Right? You live in truth, you're devil proof. You live in the lie, you're the enemy's guy. Got that? Nifty little saying, huh? Right? Right? Live in truth. Right? We want to be aware of his truth so that we can be aware of the enemy's lies. Right? If you believe his lie, right, you'll begin to fear. Right? And fear gets all of your attention, doesn't it? Right? That's why God says, worship me and worship me alone. Because whatever you're giving worth to has your full attention, right? That which gets your attention gets you. So we want to be aware of his truth. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, right? Is it anything that we've done that's made us righteous? No, it's everything that he's done, it says, that has made us righteous. He is the one. So we want to be aware that we are righteous, not because of what we've done, but what he did. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Amen. Isn't that what we all want? Right? I just want peace. Right? I want to be calm, not just out here, but in here more. Right? I remember, I think I told you, one of my mentors, he's from India. And anybody been to India before? It's so incredible. There's so many people. There's just, like, you never have, like, space to yourself, right? And it's just loud all the time, and there's so many people. And I was with Alex. He's 90-some years old now. He's still going. And we're in a restaurant, and it was loud, and it was busy, and it was smelly, right? Really smelly in there. And Alex just sits back, and he says, oh, I'm at such peace. And I looked at him. I said, how? How do you have peace in here? This is crazy in here. He said, because he's in me and I have peace in him. I'm at peace. And I'll never forget it. I'm still chewing on those words. I don't know that I've attained that, but I've sure left and I'm starting to understand that more. But our peace comes from where? Yes, from within, where he lives. People around us, the world tries to make peace what's going on around here. We can't necessarily control that, can we? But what we can control is where we're going to find our peace, and it's in him. Amen? Right? And so that is the one, he says, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, and here's, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. So how do we extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy? Yes, faith. Faith in? Yes, in him who lives within. Right? That's how you will extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. By your faith in him. Trusting him, in other words. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Amen. It's good, yes? Right? So please, the point I wanted you to take home today is sometimes we need to stop pointing the finger at the person in front of us and recognize this is the enemy. This is a scheme. There are things going on in the heavenly realms, as Paul said. In this dark world, there are spiritual forces working against us, right? And so we want to be aware of that. And how do we do it? By standing firm, by being ready, and by praying for one another. Always, Paul says, always be praying for one another. How many people love to pray here? Yeah, right? It's just a big Christianese word for talking with God, right? Right? It's talking with God. And I hope you're doing that. We need to be doing that, right? My life banks on that. I need to talk to him and I need to listen, right? And I need to bring things before him because he continually resets us, right? Find that. We need a resetting. That's why it's nice to come to church on Sunday, right? Okay, reset or renew, right? And let's continue. We always need to be hearing it, always praying for each other. Amen? All right, can I pray for you? Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Lord, it is a privilege. It's such a privilege that we're able to have someone to go to who cares about every detail of our life. Right? Lord, I love the fact that you know every head and every hair that's on those heads. That's how intimately that you know us. You made us, Lord. You're woven into our very DNA. And so, Lord, we want to be a church that prays for each other. Right? We want to see more than the person that's in front of us. We want to bless those who curse us. We want to do good to those who hate us. And we want to pray for those who persecute us. And so, Lord, would you allow us to see how you see people? Look to more beyond the hurt that the person may be giving, Lord, and turn around and pray. And pray for them instead. And see them how you see them. Because we have everything in you already. So, Lord, it should be hard, very hard to offend us. Because we don't look to men for praises. We look to our God who's already told us we're loved and we're secure. So, Lord, we want to live in that so that we can bless others. We can pray for those who are hurting us and we can do good to them. Lord, would you look deep into all of our hearts? Lord, and not just something that we hear, but something that moves deep within us. And that we pray for each other continually because we sure need it in this world today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything. Thank you for unveiling the schemes of the enemy and showing us how to battle it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, amen. 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 All right. Okay. So we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week. Remember, if you need prayer or you need something, please call me. Call the office. Come make a meeting with me. I would love to pray for you. I heard it's a good thing for a pastor to pray for his people. So if you have any needs, please let me know. We'll see you next week.